Podcast meeting brilliant minds and looking at the world around them. How do they 360 themselves and 360 the world? Jamie Neal, the host, asks many questions about their mindset and how they fundamentally operate their world and the world around them. Hello and welcome back to 360 Yourself. You know I always start with, I hope you've had a wonderful day and I hope you've had a sunny day. Well, actually, my day isn't that great with the sun, unfortunately. I've got a very cloudy day, but I've had a very busy one. I actually went to the farm this morning, which is quite nice. I got my duck eggs. I don't know if you eat duck eggs, but they're pretty, pretty good for you. And they also taste delicious. But I think there's also quite nice, it's quite therapeutic to go to a farm and see animals. And just play with them and just give them hay and all that sort of thing. They had like ducks and geese, pigs and goats and stuff. And it was a brilliant morning just to kind of recenter myself after. Also, my family had my parents had an anniversary yesterday. 32 years being together. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's an impressive feat. Anyway, enough about my morning and my parents being together. I've got a brilliant guest for you. I have Mickey Boardman, who is the editorial director for Paper Magazine. I've known him for a while, and I've always been fascinated by the way that he looks at life, and he's had an extraordinary life, and he's met the most incredible people. He's also behind that famous thing, if you've heard, Break the Internet, with the Kim Kardashian, and I'm really, really excited to talk to him. Hey, Mickey, how are you doing?
Great, how are you?
I'm very, very well, thank you. How is your morning? Because I know you're in New York at the moment. How's your morning been?
It's been okay. I haven't really done anything. I sort of just woke up and took a shower. And, you know, it's funny because the days sort of blend together. So I sometimes forget, like, did I take a shower today? But I have a busy afternoon, really. So you're the highlight of my morning. So
oh, amazing, amazing. Well, because we were talking about you're not in the office at the moment in paper. You're going to be hopefully going back into the office in August. But obviously, we know America in some places is still quite kind of dangerous with the virus. I mean, we're slowly coming back into normal. Routines in our life in London and other areas around England. But how is New York for you at the moment?
New York actually was a disaster for a while, but now it's doing great. Like everybody, you know, we did the lockdown, everybody's been wearing masks, and we're now stage four of reopening, except there's no indoor dining, no gyms, no nightclubs, things like that. So there's outdoor dining and a bunch of stores are open and things like that. So it's actually, compared to what it was, it's great, but unfortunately, almost the rest of the country is sort of a disaster where New York used to be. Like, my family lives in Florida, and that's, like, a disaster. Oh. But you know, so New York is okay. And, yeah, we'll maybe go back to the office next month. Who knows? We'll see. A lot of people, I think people also who don't want to go back to the office, who feel better at home and who don't want to commute, can still work from home. It's been interesting to see that really we're still able to get things done and do everything we need to do in this situation.
Because it must be so frustrating when you have, obviously you have one leader, which is Donald Trump, but because you have just so many different states, you can't make one rule. Obviously we have our Prime Minister Boris, and he just goes, this is what the rule is. Well, obviously in America, it doesn't work like that. And so it must be so frustrating to kind of get everything back into order.
Well, the governor of New York is fabulous and Trump is an idiot, so I'm happy that we have somebody else who kind of is. But then again, then we have the mayor of New York, so there really are a lot of layers, yes. But I don't know, it's the only system I know. Well, I mean, I've been to many other countries that have different systems, but I'm just glad there are people besides Trump who are sort of they're the ones who are actually getting things done and making things better. So
yeah, and you've got the re-elections in November, fingers crossed.
Ew, 100, I think it's 103 days away.
Ooh, I mean,
not counting the minutes or anything.
I mean, do you know, I mean, I'm sure you're very aware what the situation is. Is there like a favour to one candidate at the moment? I mean,
Biden, anyone but Trump, basically, is the favourite. Well, I mean, we have a very sort of different scenario in the way things work here. But yeah, it's really basically, it's sort of a, I mean, well, England is kind of a two-party system too, with some other, with some bonus parties.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Biden is very much in the lead, but I don't want to get cocky because Trump is a scumbag and will cheat and do all kinds of trickery. And a lot of people still, not, you know, too many people still support him, even though he's a racist, scumbag, douchebag, you know, sexual offender slash con man. So, but, you know, what can...
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed it goes in your favor or the country's favor, because obviously some things need to be definitely changed around there with what's going on.
Yeah,
but
yes, yes.
Because you, I know, for what I know, you've been at Paper Magazine long, long, long time, and like it, every time as I was saying, every time I meet you, we always have these really fascinating conversations because you've had such an extraordinary life, and also you do other things. You write a column. It was Ask Mr. Mickey, and then the new weekly column is Fat and All That. So what I want to know is, how did it all start from the beginning? Because obviously you were just before Drew Elliott, who now has left and gone to MAC Cosmetics. Where did it start at the beginning, like from before, like when you were a child? Are your parents involved in the arts or anything like that, or in journalism? How did it all start?
Nothing. My dad was a pharmacist and my mother was a housewife. She worked, she had a moment when I was in high school where she was a career woman working in an office for a while, but really nobody I knew was involved in anything artistic at all. Everybody's parents either worked in an office, as I said, or, you know, had companies or something, but nobody really did anything that creative. Mm-hmm. So I sort of never really imagined that you could do anything creative. So I went to college and got a BA in Spanish and lived in Madrid for a few years, and that was amazing. And it was the first time I kind of was around more creative types. I mean, I guess there were creative people I went to high school, but I never took art classes or writing classes other than the basic English stuff that you had to take, that you sort of had to take.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided I wanted to study fashion design because I was addicted to magazines, and I thought that, you know, I loved fashion. So I moved to New York to go to Parsons to get a BFA in fashion. And while I was there, I was an intern at Paper, which was my favorite magazine. And like I said, I've always been addicted to magazines. I still am. I always will be. And, you know, as a kid, when I was 10 years old, I would buy Vogue at the supermarket in Hanover Park, in Illinois, which was not like a normal thing for a 10-year-old kid to do. I was obsessed with GQ, partly because of the men in swimsuits, but partly because of fashion. Like this was in the 70s. And so I kind of fell into it. And I, you know, I was obsessed with Paper. And a friend of a friend was the managing editor who I knew socially. And she, when I would say, God, you're so lucky you work at Paper, it's the best magazine, she said, well, why don't you be an intern? You know, we always are looking for interns. So I didn't even know you could be an intern somewhere. So a big advocate of being an intern somewhere, even though it's a sort of a controversial thing to say to support being intern, an unpaid intern. So I just did that. And I, you know, while I was at Parsons, I sort of was not, at the time Parsons was the opposite of what sort of the traditional London fashion schools are, where they sort of encourage you to be as big a freak as possible, I think, in London, like at St. Martin's. Parsons at the time was very much wanting to train you to work on 7th Avenue and be very commercial. Like, to them, Michael Kors was as wild as you could get. And I love and adore Michael Kors, but he's not wild. He's very tasty and glamorous and cheap. And he's a Leo with Libra rising, and I'm a Libra with my moon in Leo, so we have very compatible.
Right, okay, yeah.
But, so I wasn't really very happy at Parsons in a way, although it was very interesting to... Like, I'd never taken a drawing class. So I sort of, like, was really learning so much because I was starting from literally the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part was interesting. But, you know, they had me do an interview with Rupert Everett, you know, even though I wasn't a writer and I thought them, I was like, I can't do it. I don't know how to be a writer, whatever. They always told me, like, if you can talk, you can write, and you can certainly talk. So I skipped a day of school, half day of school, and met Rupert Everett on the roof of the Peninsula Hotel, and he was wearing like a swimsuit and a mesh tank top. And we first talked about like gay stuff, and I, you know, bought a little tape recorder on my way there and recorded it, transcribed it, wrote it, and, you know, got paid like $35 for like this little 300 word thing in 1992. And that was the first thing I ever wrote. And it was, you know, I thought to myself, well, here I am at school, not really loving it. They're not excited to see me. I'm not excited to see them. You know, I could do that, or I could hang out on the roof of the Peninsula Hotel with Rupert Everett and talk about jock straps and get $35. It's like, gosh, who knew there, you know, there's paradise here.
Yeah.
The Peninsula Hotel. So that's sort of how I started it. And then I ended up failing a class my senior year. So I never graduated, which was a sort of a real shame issue for me for a long time. But now I'm thrilled about it, actually. But
how did you fail then?
Well, you only had two classes at that point. Like, when you're a sort of a senior, you have studio, which is like 3 days a week all day, which is draping and pattern making and sewing.
Yeah.
And then you have illustration, which is one day a week, like a half day. And I was a drug addict at the time, and all, you know, I did all my work eventually, but I was like a bit of a mess. Also, I would do crazy stuff they were not into, like, that had nothing to do with the clothes. I would do like Las Vegas showgirls on swings in just basically pantyhose and headdresses, like there weren't even really any clothes, covered in glitter and stuff. It was fabulous.
Gosh.
I did some, go to Shanghai, which was fabulous. I did Jackie Ho, which was a Jacqueline Onassis hip-hop collection inspired by that band Criss Cross, who wore their clothes backwards. So I did all these things, and they were like, I would present them, and it would be like crickets chirping. Like, they were not into it at all.
Right.
And, which, whatever, you know, I was just, it was the wrong place at the wrong time. Although, in retrospect, I learned more from that flop than I did from any success, because really, you don't learn anything from success. You
yeah.
learn everything from failure.
Yeah.
And, you know, so at the same time, while I was doing that and I was an intern at paper, I had the opposite experience. They loved me. They loved that I dressed crazy. They loved that I, you know, that I was obsessed with. I knew I had an encyclopedic knowledge of the magazine even before I worked there, because I read every issue and was obsessed with it. And, you know, so I sort of had the exact opposite experience. And I feel like, if you find a place where they're excited to have, where they're excited to see you, you're going to thrive.
For sure.
You know, whereas if you're in a place where they are not excited to see you, you're not going to do well, because you're not going to be happy to be there.
Yeah, because I always say you need to go where you're celebrated. And I never ever go to any jobs or anything or places where I'm not going to be celebrated, because I know that I will be annoyed, because I already know I'm not going to be celebrated. So I've already put myself in that situation.
Totally. And the thing is, that's not the place for you. Whoever you are, whatever you look like, whatever you think, whatever you do, there is a place where you will be considered a superstar.
For sure.
You just have to get out there and find that place. Mm, mm. And if you're in a place where you look at where people don't look at you like and celebrate you,
yeah.
you're in the wrong place. So yeah. get out of there, because there's somebody who would be perfect there. There's someone who that situation is the dream.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what paper was for me. And, you know, it was like crazy and, you know, it fits my personality very well, because I'm, you know, I have a real sort of Buffet kind of approach to life, not the art, although I love Bernard Buffet, but like Buffet, like,
yeah.
Although now we can't really have buffets now in COVID times, but
no.
You know, I kind of like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I have a short attention span, so I kind of like to work on something. And in a magazine and a website and, you know, a paper in general, it's always something new. Every day there's a new project. If there's something that's torture, it's going to be over soon anyway. You got to just sort of work through it and make it happen and finish it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is it's perfect for me. And if I had known as a child that this something like this existed, it would have been very interesting, but mm-hmm. I sort of stumbled onto it accidentally. And that's why I think it's so important. And I tell everyone, like, you really got to get out there and kind of just try things, because how do you even know? Like, how could you ever know you would want to be a movement director? There wasn't even really such a thing
yeah.
when you were a kid.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
There really wasn't, you know, and unless you try something, like I thought, oh, I want to be a fashion designer because I love clothes and I love magazines. I love fashion stories. But, you know, you have to fucking sew those clothes. You have to like design them. You have to understand a person's body. You have to understand what works, you know, and that's not, I can't do that really. I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
I am good at fashion related things. Mm. And the best thing that ever happened to me was that I failed out of Parsons. Mm-hmm. Because also that same week, the woman who had hired me as an intern and ran the office was the photo editor, was the party photographer, the office manager, the intern director. She did a million jobs. She quit, like sort of shot out of the blue. And they asked me, because I was sort of the star intern, I'd been there for sort of like a semester and a half, like for a semester, then the summer and the fall, you know, whereas normally kids only usually come for a semester. So I kind of was like the old pro and everything by that point. So they said, you know, that we don't know what to do. Can you just answer the phones until we figure out what to do? And if I hadn't gotten kicked out of Parsons, I wouldn't have been able to do that because I would have been at school. So It all within 1 week, all that magic happened. And I, you know, that was 28 years ago and I'm still there. So, you know, I definitely believe in destiny and the things, if you just get yourself to the place you need to be, a lot of the work will take care of itself.
It sounds like similarly to Drew. Didn't he was in the right place at the right time and with a PA job or something?
He was an intern. He was like 19 or 18, I think, when he started at Parsons. And he's from Indiana. I'm from Illinois. So we have sort of similar situations, although differently in that his father was the vice president of Indiana University. So he was kind of around, although academic, more creative. And also Bloomington, Indiana was much more bohemian and hip and artistic than the suburbs where I grew up. But he started as an intern. And, you know, the thing about an internship is, it's sort of like a blind date that lasts 3 or 4 months. Mm-hmm. You know, you can meet somebody, or like you could go in for a job and they interview you and maybe you aren't a good interviewee, or maybe you don't make a good impression, or maybe you make a great impression, but it's not the impression that you really want to make, or, you know, so who knows? I mean, and they're like Drew, for example, I at first didn't recognize that he was a star when he first came. I thought, you know, cause he was very kind of like stone faced and unemotional, you know, and it was only when I got to work with him that I was like, wow, this kid is brilliant. You know what I mean? And I wouldn't have known that necessarily if I had only just sat down with him for 15 minutes to do an interview. So that's to me why it's like, if you can just think of what your fantasy place is. And the thing is also, I think you need to think of what your fantasy place is in a really honest way, because honestly, like my fantasy, if I could go back as to be a child again, I would be a writer on a soap opera. Like that would be my dream job. My job is a dream and I love it in every way. But really I could sit and watch soap operas all day. I could talk about soap operas all day. Like I am a housewife on that level. And it never occurred to me, even though I watched soap operas as a kid and my mother watched soap operas. And so I sort of saw them through her and whatever. It never occurred to me that you could have a job working on a soap opera. You know what I mean?
How come you didn't know that these creative jobs were around?
I think, you know, it's stupid to think, because obviously I watched the credits and I saw somebody write this. But I never, like I said, nobody I knew at all was involved in any kind of a job like that. Nothing sort of creative. So I just thought like you could be like a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman or I never would have occurred to me that you could be a chef either, or any kind of thing that was sort of on the creative side, which is stupidity, I guess, from my point of view. But also, and my family wasn't familiar at all with those types of people who did those kinds of jobs. The closest I ever came was like my mom had this interior designer redo our house once, who was like, you know, gay and kind of wore his shirt open to here and kind of drove like Trans Am, like he was. And you know, people said he did coke on the weekend. Like that was very racy for like where I was going, and that didn't really speak to me in a way. Like I didn't really care about. Although maybe later I cared about. I was a drug addict, so maybe I did care about drugs. But it wasn't. It just sort of. I don't know. I hadn't really been exposed to it. Mm-hmm. But I think that often we're sort of also taught to think what success equals is lots of money, lots of visibility or lots of attention, you know, lots sort of things that maybe don't mean anything to you or maybe don't mean anything to me. You know, for me, the thing about paper that I love is it's a cliche, but if I didn't work there and get it for free, I would subscribe. I would buy it every month because I love it. I think it's a fabulous magazine. Mm. And to be able to work on something that you think is really great is a gift, you know what I mean? And it really makes, you know, all the rest of the headaches seem a lot more palatable. Like, if you don't feel like you make enough money, or if you feel like you have worked too hard, or if you feel like, you know, you get, you know, in the business we're in, you know, you get emails or texts or calls at all hours of the night, there's a crisis, the whole thing's canceled, or this person, you know, there are all these kinds of dramas that really don't really help make for a relaxing life. You know what I mean? When I fantasize about getting away, I fantasize about like having a job that you get there in the morning, you leave at night and you never think about it. They never talk to you. Like, it's literally just like stuffing envelopes. Like, I used to love back in the day when we would send out subscription notices from paper before we had like a service to it. You know, I loved just sort of stuffing envelopes and doing mindless kind of busy work because it sort of cleansed my brain.
Yeah,
like, where's the catering for this? Or, oh, when are we getting these photos? Or, oh, this check got sent in the mail, but it hasn't come yet. You know, so I think, you know, you really need to, this all goes back to kind of like what it is that really will make you happy and what you really want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Without worrying, like, how does that look, or, you know.
For sure. But look, what would you say is your purpose then in life? Because obviously you also, because you have a deep love for like yoga, and you go away for little retreats as well. And also you have your weekly column as well, which I also read and I also love. Like, what would you say is your kind of purpose? And maybe it's changed over the years.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned, because my yoga teacher, Mihir Joglekar, Jog Mihir is his Instagram, has, in lockdown, has started this virtual yoga studio called Jogashala, Jogashala. And they do yoga, and I do. I haven't been doing it the past few weeks. I really need to get back to it because I miss it. But they also have, like, an Ayurvedic doctor come and give sort of classes on Instagram TV. And they have this woman who's amazing, Leona, who's from Czech Republic, who's kind of exactly the opposite of me on a certain level, who does holistic wellness classes, and she's so brilliant. Like, she's very she gives very simple declarative sentence answers, like, I am fun, like, you know, I'm like, girl, woo, you know, like lots of unnecessary adjectives. And she, one of the classes she was doing this past month was, you know, what is your purpose in life? And it's easy to, you know, it's easy to feel self-conscious and be like, oh god, you know, I'm here to make the world a better place, but really, I feel like my purpose is to shine a light on fabulous things, fabulous meaning worthwhile and that deserve attention, whether those are people or charities or activities, whatever they are, and, you know, to raise money or raise support for great causes, and to like leave the world, my world, a better place than it was when I came, you know, and that's why, like, I could easily like move to India and work with this charity that I work with. I could be very happy. But to me, my worth to them, my value to them is being where I am and being able to connect with people in a million different worlds, whether that's because it's New York and it's, you know, rich people who can give money to the charity, or whether it's fashion brands that can donate clothes. When we do every year, we do a clothing sale that raises lots of money to build schools, clinics, and women's centers in India and Nepal. So, and I, you know, the thing is that that's where I get my soul is really nourished. I do love working in paper, and it nourishes my soul on a certain level, but on a much deeper level, it's the other things that I do that really make me happy. And so I'm double blessed in that sense, that I love the job that I do, but also it's a tool to do other things that are sort of bigger and greater. And again, whether that's, you know, and I'm not saying give me the Nobel Prize by any means. I mean, I think everybody should do this with their life and their jobs. They should make the world a better place. They should, you know, decide what they believe in. And that could be something totally different than what I believe in. But, you know, but now I've just sort of lost myself. But, you know, it feels great to be able to sort of do these things.
It's about serving, isn't it? It's about serving people. And I think what you do creatively with Paper Magazine, or what you do with your columns, or what you do on your Instagram, is, I think, for me, it's all, you serve other people quite a lot.
And even like talking about, I'm very open about being in recovery, you know, being a drug addict. about body positivity, about weight issues. And, you know, those things speak to people and they mean a lot to people. And I know people have spoken about things that have touched me in that way. And I think if we're all just sort of open and honest and real about who we are and the struggles we go through, that really helps us and can also help other people. So.
Yeah, it's about the humility, isn't it? It's about actually not having face going and that sort of pride to go, actually, no, I'm okay. Actually, you're not. And to actually have those conversations. But I think it's also to find those people that you can have those honest conversations with. And I've, over the last 3-4 years, I've built a network of people that I can just rant to or just go, you know what, I actually am a bit struggling. Can I have a conversation? And I think you just need those sort of people that you can be able to do that. And I think it's a lot healthier if you're able to speak about these sort of things.
Totally. Because we're so trained in a way to worry about other people's problems, whether it's professionally on a shoot or the celebrity wants this or the publicist is demanding that or whatever, the food's not right or something. And, you know, we have to take care of ourselves too. You know what I mean? We have to, like you said, you know, we have to be, and that's why I'm such a devoted fan of therapy, and because it's like, it's that person's job, your therapist's job is just to help you with your problems. It's like that 1 hour a week or whatever, however often it is about, you know, your personal growth and development. And I think everything in life is about personal growth and development. And when you get older, you know, you learn these lessons that I try to tell younger people, but I think you can maybe only learn them by personal experience. You learn that the shit you cared so much about, I worried that I was 5 pounds overweight. I fucking agonized for decades and nobody cared except me. Nobody cared.
Yeah. No one's actually thinking about it. It's just you thinking about it.
Nobody cared. And you think it's ruining your life and really nobody cares.
Yeah.
The same with being gay when I was a kid. Like I thought, God, between being gay and being overweight, and meanwhile I wasn't even overweight, like I thought my life was completely ruined and I could have been enjoying my life because later in life, when I was gayer than ever and fatter than ever, I had the best times of my life. I had the hottest boyfriends of my life. I had the best work-related successes. But, you know, a lot of the time I was thinking like, oh God, if only I wasn't fat, this would be so great. And it was so great. So you learn that nobody cares. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe your mother cares.
But I think the fact of the matter is that you think that everyone else is thinking about their thing, but they've got their own shit that they're worrying about. So like you're overdoing your brain going, oh my God, this person, and they're going and they're thinking about something totally different about themselves, and everyone's doing that sort of thing. So you just might as well just let it go and just release and just actually you are you and that's it, and just live your best life.
And nothing is more attractive than confidence, and I think everybody, honestly, if you ask, really thinks that. And it's obviously it's great if someone has a symmetrical face or a perfect body, like whatever. But really, it's just confidence and being comfortable with who you are that's the most attractive. Those are the people you really want to be around and hang out with. And again, that really comes with age. And again, it's the same with failure. So it's like I was saying, you know, thank God I had graduated. I had a BA in Spanish before I went to Parsons. Because if I had been a college flunky, I was really embarrassed about it. Now I'm proud of it. I proclaim it on the highest mountain because it's, you know, again, as I said, I learned more from that. And then P.S., you know, Parsons has had me speak at the graduation.
I was just about to say that. I was like, have you gone back to do like a graduation speak?
Yeah, they've had me be a critic. They've had me help choose the designer of the year. And they think the woman who told me I was kicked out of school, Lisa Smiler, is the vice president of CFDA. Now, years ago when I started working in paper, she's like, I knew you'd be a big success. You know, I was just in the wrong place. You know what I mean? And they think I'm great at Parsons now. I have a great relationship with them. So it was all, you know, it's a good thing that I was in the wrong place and somebody realized it and moved me over to another place. Like that was a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a bad thing. And, you know, that's another thing, reason why something that confuses me a lot about in life is where I was born in Chicago and grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. And where I grew up, people, like, we lived near my grandparents.
Yeah.
Like, it was half an hour by car. Which is not so, but whatever, it's close. And then a lot of people I grew up with live within very close to where we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's a fabulous place, although my family moved to Florida when I went to college. So I don't go to the suburbs of Chicago so much anymore. I go to Chicago, but the city, but not the suburb.
Yeah.
But it's like, why people sort of think I was born here, so this is where I belong, without ever going anywhere else, without going to London, without going to LA, without going to Paducah, Kentucky. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know that that's the place for you? It's a total geographical accident. I mean, I do believe in some kind of destiny too, but it's like, I don't understand why people don't want to get out and see the world or try different things or, you know, or things like that. They just think like, okay, well, I was born here, so I'm going to just look, this is my world within like 20 minutes of where I was born.
Yeah, I know. Same thing for me. And I live in I'm from a very small village town in Devon. It's the same thing. Some people just they're not interested in leaving, and they just kind of like have a family, have a kid, and they don't ever like see the world.
Which is great if you want to have a kid and live there, but go somewhere else to see maybe you like, or confirm that you don't like it and want to go back.
Yeah. But it is sort of by luck, though, by chance or whatever, by the stars, that actually you're born into a certain family in a certain area, in a certain country. Like, it's literally just like one in a million kind of chances of where you're born.
Yeah. And chances are there's something that you don't even know about that would totally make you happier, that would be like your dream situation. But until you experience it, sort of like me with being around creative people, I kind of didn't even have the vocabulary to know that's what I needed or what I wanted because I had no experience with it.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so just to finalize, what would you, because we talk about giving back to people and serving people, and you're such an advocate of like giving advice, especially to me when I, like a couple of years ago when I
probably don't dye your hair blonde.
Yeah. Well, you're such a great advice. You're a good advice giver. What would you kind of like summarize from the conversation that we've had that you would give back to someone else, whether it could be a young person, someone my age, your age, in the creative sector, or just in life in general?
I would say, you know, multiple things, but one is, like I've said, figure out what your fantasy situation is and get there. Whether it's like if you're the biggest shoe fan in the world and you want to work for Tamara Mellon or Manolo Blahnik, or whether it's, you know, there was this story that I always loved on the Rosie O'Donnell show when she had a talk show. There was a kid on who was like 11 or 12 whose parents said, if, you know, he was a good student, they said, if you get all A's, if you get all the highest grades on your report card, we'll take you to Disneyland. So he did get all A's, but he said, you know, is it possible instead of going to Disneyland, can you take me to the Hoover vacuum cleaner factory? Because he's obsessed with vacuum cleaners.
Right.
And he owned like 100 vacuum. Like, all he wanted for his birthday and Christmas were different vacuums. And I, ironically, have just gotten a new Dyson vacuum, and it has changed my life. And I love to vacuum all day long. And I've gotten in touch with my domestic side during quarantine. But the point being, it's not on the list of normal things to be obsessed with or normal things to want your life to be. But that kid knows he loves vacuum cleaners. So I'm so proud that he would want to go to the vacuum cleaner factory. So
yeah.
It's like, know what brings you joy and run there and stay there. And just getting in the door or figuring out where you want to be and getting in the door, those are the hardest parts. The rest kind of can take care of itself over the years. And that, and also I would say, love and accept yourself the same way. Like, know and realize everyone's worried about their own bullshit.
Yeah.
And that goes to the best looking people worry about it, that like, think of the rejection that models go through. You know what I mean? There's constantly someone better looking, better body, better, you know, it's a nonstop rejection for them. People think, oh, you're a model, you're gorgeous, you have no problems. And really, you know, you have the same amount or more problems in terms of looks. So, you know, just know that, love yourself, know yourself, and know that failures are not the end of the world. They're a blessing. You'll learn more from your failures than from your successes. So.
Mm.
And a little thing that, doing these charity clothing sales that I've learned that's fascinating, which goes back to giving back, is when I do this one of these sales, the thrill I get from selling like a Valentino handbag that where the money's going to charity, like 100% of the money is going to build a school, I get more of a thrill out of that than I do from buying a Stella McCartney handbag. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, for sure. So because,
giving fulfills you in a way that receiving never will.
Of course.
Receiving is fun, don't get me wrong, but it's like really giving and giving back and being satisfied. You'll never settle for less once you've tried that.
This is true. Amen. Amen to that. Some really, really, really positive points. So thank you very, very much for your time. I know you're a very busy man, and because it's like, 10:30 a.m. there. So you've got like a very busy rest of your day with paper people. And I can't wait to see more of the stuff that you're going to be doing with paper, and keep listening and watching and reading all of Mickey's stuff on his column. If you'll have in the biography content bit, you're going to have Mickey's Instagram. Please do check him out, because he is like, I love his content. He always is a breath of fresh air whenever I go on it, and it's always very, very uplifting. So please check it out. So thank you again so much, Mickey, for giving me your time on 360 Yourself.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
This is 360 Yourself, and I'm Jamie Neal. Thank you very much for taking a moment to listen to our wonderful guests. Please subscribe to our podcast to access all our brilliant guest episodes. They are released every Sunday at 12 p.m. We are available on all listening platforms: Spotify, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Castro. You can also find us on Instagram at 360_yourself, Twitter at yourself360, and our host at Jamie Neal JN. Thank you for listening.